I want to thank everyone that stood in for us while we were on vacation. And I have to honestly say this, that this was the first year since we planted this church in 2005 that I actually vacated. I thank God for that, because every time I've ever tried to go away, I always carried everything with me. But I can truly say I released you to the Lord and I vacated, and then my family was blessed. See, so many times as ministry, we miss our children and our grandchildren because we get so focused on the body of Christ and what's going on, we miss what's right in front of us. So I thank God for that opportunity that He gave us to vacate. Amen. But we're pumped up, charged up, and we're back. Say, they're back. Okay. How many know it's okay to be happy in the house of God? Amen. God didn't call me here to beat anybody up. The joy of the Lord is our strength. We gather here to rejoice and celebrate the victory that we have in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. This is a happy place. You know, they used to say, here's the thing, when I acted like a nut, that I was too happy. Amen. I want to be a nut for Christ. Hallelujah. I was sharing this morning. I heard this saying the other day. I think I read it on Facebook. It said, I want to be so full of Jesus, when a mosquito bites me, he starts flying away singing, "There's power in the blood." Hallelujah. Amen. Hey, can we get so full of Jesus in the house? Amen. That's what we've gathered here today. We've gathered here today to dine and eat on the Word of God. Amen. So, hey, let's keep our hearts and our minds open. Amen. In Romans 1, Paul, remember that Jesus has already been to the cross. He's already been to the grave. He arose from the grave. He ascended to the Father, sent back the Holy Ghost. Okay? So Paul's not speaking in the law. He's speaking in grace. Okay? And we're ministers of grace. Amen? We're ministers of grace. You know, Paul was talking about in chapter 1 of Romans, he was talking about people that were unthankful. People that were unthankful. People that were unrighteous. Amen? You know, we're thankful. I don't know about you. The Bible says, for us in everything, give thanks, for that's the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you and I. Amen? And sometimes I have a problem giving thanks in some of the circumstances and situation, but I know that all things are working together for the good to them that love God and to them that are called according to His purpose, so there's some benefit coming my way. Amen? You know, so, but, and I want to start this morning in Romans chapter 2, verse number 1. The Apostle Paul says, "Therefore thou art an inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For when thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasure up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds." Amen. "To him who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life, but of them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God." I want to focus your attention this morning to verse number 1. And we're going to build off of this morning. It says in verse 1, "Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest." For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest dost the same things. The title of this morning's message is Farsightedness. Farsightedness. And I'm talking about this morning spiritual farsightedness. You see, I'm farsighted. I can see at a distance, but I can't see close up. And what the Lord was speaking to my heart about with spiritual farsightedness is we're able to see things in everyone else at a distance, but not seeing ourselves. Amen? And what God is wanting to speak to us today is there's three things He wants to share with us today. That He wants to speak to everyone regarding three things: our conscience, our consideration for others, and our consistency. Our conscience, our consideration for others, and our consistency. Can we lift the word in the house and can we make a declaration together in the house of God? Repeat after me, say, I believe. This is the written word of God. God wrote this word to me. I am what God's word says I am. I can have everything God's word says I can have. I can be who God says I can be. Today, I will hear God's word and my life will be changed. It'll never be the same. Speak to me, Lord. For I am listening. My ears are open and my heart is attentive. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we're so grateful, Father God. We're so grateful for your word. We're grateful that you sent it here today to accomplish something in this house on this May 31st, 2015. Lord, you knew everyone that would be present and that you will build up each and every one. I pray that every last person in this house will be encouraged and they will be comforted by the preaching and teaching of your word. And when all is said and done, all glory and all honor and praise will be unto you. Now, Father, my prayer today is, let me get out of your way. Speak through me, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, in other words, the Apostle Paul said in chapter 2, verse 1, that thou art inexcusable, O man. And what he speaks to me first about is our conscience. Remember the thought. The theme today is farsightedness. Seeing far off, but not seeing what's in front of our face. Amen. So turn with me this morning to 1 Timothy chapter 4, and we're going to look at our conscience first. Our conscience. First Timothy 4:1 says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly in the latter times. Some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Now, if you sear something, you burn it or you cauterize it. For example, they used to cauterize a wound. And that what they would do is the cauterization would kill all the feeling around the wound. And that's what the Apostle Paul was saying, not to have our conscience cauterized, have it seared with a hot iron that we're not conscious or aware of what's going on, not only right in front of us, but the things that are taking place in front of you and I. Amen? Are you with me? You know, the Apostle Paul said that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So what he is saying to us today in his word is for us not to be spiritually far-sighted, to see what's wrong with everyone else, but never taking a look at ourselves. Amen? So look with me in your word to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, and we're going to look at the words of Jesus. The word proves the word, right? Jesus said in John 15, 20, when you're there, say amen. He said, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. And what the Lord was speaking to me about our conscience is that the robe of righteousness is not a cloak for our sin. Amen? That I'm talking about blatantly sinning. I'm not saying that we're not going to sin, that we're not going to mess up. But I'm not to be living. The old man has passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. I'm not that old man anymore. Amen? That I put away the old things. I'm learning to walk in newness of life. I'm so grateful that he gave me a do-over. Amen? I'm grateful for that do-over. I got a Nike check on my head. Yeah, God gave me a do-over. Amen. He gave me a brand new beginning. He gave you a brand new beginning. And he's saying to you, through the power of Jesus Christ and by the power of the Holy Ghost, those things that used to hold on to you will fall off of you if you allow me to work in your life. Amen. Amen. It's the power of God. It's the power of God. It's the power of his word. As I get his word inside of me, I'm not conformed to the things of this world, but I'm transformed because my mind is changed. Amen? I'm not that old man. I'm a new man in Christ Jesus. Amen? 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 Hallelujah. Hey, you know what? This is a pep rally for Jesus. You know, when I get you involved, it's a pep rally to Jesus. It's bringing glory to him. Amen. And some of these young people are saying, Pastor, how do you expect me to get excited about you if the old people in the church aren't excited about you? Can we get excited about Jesus? Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but he's done some mighty things in my life. He brought me out of the miry clay.
On the rock to stay, he puts a song in my soul today, a song of praise, hallelujah. He brought me out of the miry clay, he set my feet on the rock to stay, he puts a song in my soul today, a song of praise, hallelujah.
I would have sang that, but I wanted y'all to stay. Hallelujah. He puts joy in my heart. Hallelujah. Amen. But he is saying to you and I today, let's not have our conscience seared or cauterized. Let's not be in that place. Amen. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let's see what the Apostle Paul says. 1 Thessalonians 2, 3, he says, for our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, with trial of our hearts. For neither at any time use we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness. God is witness. Amen? Amen? So, in other words, this cloak, this thing that he is speaking about, he's speaking, and let's not be so far-sighted that we don't see what's going on in our lives. God wants to do a work in every heart and every life. You know, the Word of God says, ever learning but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. The moment that you think that you have arrived, beware. The moment you feel that you have arrived, beware. He says, draw near to me. That means I talked to him this morning. When I got up this morning, I had to put something on. Thank God I put my clothes on, but I'm not talking about my clothes. And everybody said, amen, hallelujah, thank you, Lord. Oh, that's scary. No, but I put on my garment of praise. I put on my garment of praise to overcome the spirit of heaviness. Amen? Because I know who I am in Christ Jesus. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm a victor. I'm a winner. I can do all things that through Christ that strengthens me. Amen? I get that mentality. It's something I got to put on. It's just not coming. If you're just waiting for it to come, it ain't going to come. He says, you draw near and I'll come running. Amen? So many times we're laying back and we're waiting for him. Here I am waiting. That's a good song there.
For you, hide me in your love. Lord, bring me to my knees. May I know Jesus more and more. Come live in me all my life. Take over. Come breathe in me, and I will rise on eagle's wings. Come live in me all my life. Take over. Come breathe in me, and I will rise on eagle's wings.
That's what happens sometimes when you're sarcastic, because I was made a sarcastic statement. I used my sarcornia. If you do not know me, I'm sarcastic and I'm corny, and there's a Greek word, it's called sarcornia, and I made that one up to try to justify myself. But so many times, church, listen to me. So many times we're waiting on God and he's just waiting on us. What was the last thing he asked you to do? What was the last thing he asked you to do? You're looking for something else. You're seeking something else. You're expecting something else, but what was the last thing he asked you to do? Step back and do the last thing he asked you to do, and then all of a sudden the windows of heaven will open up. Hello? So many times when the Lord asks me to do something or prompts my heart to do something, most of the time I don't want to do it. 99.9% of the time, I don't want to do it. And I fight it. And I wrestle with it. And guess what? I never win. Hello? I never win. God loves me. He doesn't take his hand off of me. I'm still anointed. I'm still appointed. Amen. I'm appointed and anointed. He doesn't take his hand off of me. I'm still walking it. But I'm not walking in the river that I would walk in, that I would flow in, if I would have done what he asked me to do. Just a thought. Can somebody say? What was the last thing the Lord that prompted, the Holy Spirit prompted you to give up, to lay down? Write it down. The Holy Spirit's speaking. Write it down on your sheet. What was the last thing the Holy Spirit prompted your heart for you to turn from, to give to the God, to give to him? Write it down. He'll just close your eyes for 1 minute. The Holy Spirit will show you in just a flash. Amen. Amen.
we're being transformed from the inside out, not from the outside in. You see, that's what I used to try to do. I thought it was my job to change people. Wow. Lord asked me one day, he said, you can't even change yourself. You know, he said, all I want you to do is share the truth with them. And then it's between me and them. Amen? So whatever you get today, it's up to you. It's your choice. You know, my daddy used to say, eat the meat, throw away the bones. Don't get choked. God isn't here to choke anybody. God is here to give you life in the abundance thereof. Hallelujah. In 1 Peter 2:16, I just want to close this one thought in our conscience with this scripture here. 1 Peter 2, verse 15. It says, for so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. That word maliciousness comes from the Greek word kakia, and kakia means naughtiness. So you might say that hey, I don't have a cloak for my naughtiness, okay? And this word maliciousness in the King James. But a servant of God, he says, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. Amen. Amen. In other words, what God is saying to you and I first about being farsighted, amen, not to have our conscience seared. In other words, God is, you know, so many times we point the finger at others. We can so easily identify what's wrong with someone else instead of looking at ourselves. Amen. And you know, God tells me I need to practice what I preach. I haven't arrived yet, but praise God, I wouldn't take nothing for the journey. Amen. I'm going from glory to glory to glory to glory to glory to glory. My sanctification is a process that takes my entire lifetime. As I'm walking, I'm being sanctified. You might say that I'm a work in progress. Amen? That you're a work in progress. Amen? And that we need to see each other as a work of progress. No matter what someone is into, let's not magnify what they're into. Let's magnify God and make God bigger than what they're into. Amen? Because God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above anything we ever expected or even asked Him to do. I don't know if you get this or not, but we serve a big God. God said, and it was. Look at this universe. Created by the spoken word of God. Now don't tell me there ain't power in the spoken word of God. Amen? Praise God. So he's talking about spiritual farsightedness. Secondly, he's talking about secrecy. Our conscience, our consideration. Look at me in 2 Timothy chapter 2. The Apostle Paul, verse 5, he says this, and if a man also strive for masteries, yet is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. You know, right now we're in the NBA playoffs. You have the Golden State Warriors playing the Cleveland Cavaliers. On this court, if you foul, there's types of fouls. There's a technical foul that you'll be ejected from the game, okay? And there's also a personal foul. You're allowed 5 fouls, and if you commit 5 fouls, you have to sit on the bench. And in other words, there's rules to the game. Amen? And God has established rules. Amen? Amen? So let's look at verse 6. He says, the husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. He said, in other words, he says, don't give what you don't have.
In other words, before I can preach the word, I need to swallow the word. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Now, I thank God for amazing grace. And I thank God for the abundance of grace. But God established in here what's right and what's wrong. Hello? This is my rule book. And guess what? Before, no one could do it. Before the Holy Spirit came. I have the Holy Spirit. I have the Spirit of Christ in me. Christ was without sin. I have the Holy Spirit in me. It's a battle between the spirit man and the flesh man. Because I can do all things through Christ. Apostle Paul said, he said, his strength was made perfect in my weakness. Amen. It's depending on his strength and his power. But what God is saying to us in spiritual farsightedness in this light is there's rules. The rules is we're to love our neighbor as ourselves. We're to bless those that persecute us and despitefully use us for his name's sake, for great is his reward. In other words, we're to consider others. It's about our consideration. In other words, we can't forget where God found us. So many times we forget where we were when Jesus came into our hearts and our lives. I don't brag about this, but I was a cocaine addict for 18 years. Amen. And God delivered me on October the 12th, 1997. In the bedroom of my home. He came in and called me in the ministry and set me free. Amen. So I don't forget where he found me. And that's when I was ministering to people that are caught in addictions. I love them just where they're at. No matter where they are. I don't forget where God found me. Amen. Amen. So much easier. We get to this place where we want to magnify the sin of others. You know why we do that? Because we don't want to look at our own sin. Amen. Amen. I don't know if you like it or not, but that's good preaching. Huh? Amen. Praise God. Take a breath. And you know what? I get excited when I get excited. I get loud. My grandson Eli's just like me. He has played loud. I come from a family of nine children in our family. Amen? And I always thought if you didn't speak up, you didn't get heard. So I've got the loudest mouth of everyone. As a family, there's nine of us, and eight were born in Maryland, and one was born in Georgia. I was the rebel. I was born in Georgia. I was always the rebel. But at one time I was a rebel without a cause, but now I'm a rebel for Christ Jesus. I'm a rebel with a cause. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I'm a Georgia cracker. Amen. Praise God. Amen. I've shared before. I'm not just scared, man. I'm feeling it right now. I feel high as a kite. Hallelujah. Amen. You don't know what is high? There's a joy of the Lord that starts bouncing inside of you. It's so sweet. I feel like my heart's bouncing about 1,000 miles a minute. Hallelujah. God wants us to have consideration for others. He didn't call any of us to judge anyone. Turn with me to Romans 14 for a moment. Verse number 11. The Apostle Paul says, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this, rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Amen. 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 We're not here to judge anyone. Amen. We're here to love them as Christ loved them. Amen. Does anyone in the house feel loved? Do me a favor just for this. Just do this one time. Raise your hands like this. And I just want you to feel the love of God. Hallelujah. Oh, how he loves you and me. Do you know that one? Probably yeah. Not. Go ahead.
How he loves you and me. Oh, how he loves you and me. He gave his life. What more could he give? Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you and me.
Amen. Turn me to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians 4. Verse number 1 says, let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not my own self, for I know nothing by myself. Yet am I not hereby justified, but the Lord, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore, judge nothing before its time, until the Lord come and will bring the light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. The apostle said, and James, the brother of Jesus, writes in James chapter 4, James 4, verse 10, he says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what ye shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For you have ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings, and all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. In other words, what God is saying to us, let's not be so spiritually far-sighted that we don't have a conscience. Let's not be so spiritually far-sighted that we don't have consideration for others. Not remembering where God found you and I. Amen? And thirdly, he wants us to be, it talks about consistency. So turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. And this illustrates the message perfectly. Because God is perfect. His word is perfect. His love is perfect. Perfect love is what casts out fear. Fear have torment, but perfect love gets rid of it. Amen. So Jesus said this in Matthew 7:1. Judge not that ye be not judged, period. Judge not that you be not judged, period. Amen? Then he starts to speak in it. He says, for what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured unto you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in the brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in their own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of your eye, and behold a beam that's in your own? You hypocrite. First cast out the beam out of your own eye, and then shall you see clearly to cast out the mote that's in your brother's. In other words, God is saying to us, let's not be farsighted. Let's not be spiritually farsighted that he's given us a conscience. That we're to be considerate for others and we're to be consistent. Nobody can follow anybody if they're inconsistent. Amen? We steadily walk towards the kingdom. Amen? We steadily move toward. We can't get caught up in circumstances. We can't get caught up in situations. We can't go in all these things. We got to continue to move forward. Amen? Are you with me? The Apostle Paul said in Romans 2, and Romans 2 in our text today, and we're in verse number 21, about consistency, he says, thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Question mark. That's a question. Thou that preachest a man should not steal, doest thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, do thou commit adultery? Question. Thou that abhorrest idols, doest thou commit sacrilege? Amen? In other words, he says, it's our actions speak louder than words. Amen? And let me say something. It's all right to say, I'm a work in progress. Okay? Nobody's arrived yet. Amen? Amen? You with me? Is anybody here but me? Turn with me to Titus 1:16 and I'll close this down. Then everybody says amen. Hallelujah. 1:14 and Titus. The word of God says, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men, that turn from the truth. Unto the pure all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and their conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him. Being abominable, disobedient, and to every good work reprobate. I want you to understand this. Our works do not save us, for by grace we are saved by faith. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But my works is a P.S. Thank you, Lord. Now, for me, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believes. Amen. Amen. We got some good news for a lost and dying world. Amen. In other words, we've got to allow the Spirit of God to transform and to change our lives. Because we are in a written epistle to be read by men. Amen? Amen? So when you walk into the room, who walks into the room? Jesus walks in the room. No matter what the situation, no matter what the circumstance, when I walk in the room and they're crying and weeping because someone's dying, I come in and speak life. Hello? I speak life in the situation. Life and death are the power of the tongue. You know, we can speak life. We're bearers of the light of God. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and give the Father in heaven all the glory. Amen. Amen. We're not doing this to glorify us. We're doing it to glorify him. Amen. Amen. So in closing today, what is God saying to you and I? Simply this. Let's not be
so spiritually farsighted that we don't see what's right in front of our face. I used to do this. I had reading glasses. I used to put them on and take them off, put them on and take them off, put them on and take it off. And one day my wife says, it's okay if you wear glasses. Amen? We need to get some spiritual glasses. In other words, if we listen and we'll take to heart what God just said today, right now, I'm farsighted. I can see the distance, but I can't see close up. But if I allow the Spirit of God to enlighten me, then I see what's right in front of my face. You hear what the Lord's saying? He's given us a conscience. Guess what? Everyone in the room that's born of God knows what's right and what's wrong. It's inside of you. You sense it and you feel it. You know what's right and what's wrong. What God is saying, consider yourself. Consider others. Amen? And let's walk with consistency. Amen? Let me say something to you. Jesus said this. He said, any man have put his hand to the plow and looking back is not fit for the kingdom of heaven. I want you to know today that there's nothing behind you, but everything God has is before you. Everything is before you. So many people think, well, if I could just go back and change this. Hey, if you ask God to forgive you, he removed it as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered again. And if God isn't bringing it up, why do you want to go back and dig in the old junk? I don't know about you, but when I gave my heart to Jesus, my whole closet was full of skeletons. And he came in and cleaned the closet out. Hallelujah! When you gave your heart to the Lord, he cleaned the closet out. He gave you a brand new beginning and a brand new start. That means, man, I got something to build on. Amen? You know what happens? When you try to go back and build on the broken foundation in your past, your foundation will fall. Your house will fall. God has given you a solid rock. Jesus Christ, the rock of your salvation. We have a solid foundation, and his name is Jesus. God wants you to know today, stop looking back. Look forward. Press in. Press in. Press in. He says, blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. They shall be filled. They shall be filled. God wants us all to be filled with the goodness of God. He's a good God. Amen? Bow your heads and let us pray. Father, we're so grateful for your word. We're so grateful that you sent your word to accomplish something in every heart and every life in the room. In the closing moments of this service, and I always do this just for the sake,